And so, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you and I beg with you today, don't fall for the fake news. Now, how can you tell if something is fake? Now, I went to this and, you know, because I wanted to be in line. Now, they had about 8 things, but I took 4. How can you spot fake news? All right? Well, the first thing it says, be skeptical of the headlines.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of fake news. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of fake news.
Now, they were not even credible. Now, I'm going to show you this. Look at, I think I have this verse down here. I think it's in the book of Acts. Yeah, turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. In verse 19. Acts chapter 12. And this is when Peter miraculously escaped from jail. And look what it says in verse 19. That when Herod came to look for Peter, he thought he was in jail, and found him not, he examined the keepers, and look at this, and commanded that they should be put to death. The fact that these soldiers would be killed, they would literally be put to death for falling asleep on the job. And if Josh McDowell, he talks about different ways that they were killed. He said that sometimes that they fell asleep on the job. He said that they would burn them alive in a fire started with their own clothes. And on other occasions, what they would do, they would get those catapults, and they would catapult them off the side of a mountain. And so you're trying to tell me that these soldiers fell asleep the night that Jesus, you know, was in that grave? I think not. So you go back to the Roman soldiers. You know, they were not even credible witnesses, even in line in what they were supposed to be doing. The next thing, check the evidence. Check the evidence. Now, let me ask this question. If the disciples stole the body, now the resurrection is the capstone of Christianity. I mean, everything rises and falls on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Paul said, I'm among all men most miserable. And this religion that we follow is a mistake. And so Christianity is rooted and grounded in the resurrection. Now, if it was me, now, I don't know, maybe y'all don't think the same way I do. But I would have went and got every last one of them disciples and said, we're going to torture you, we're going to keep you in jail until you show us a body. Why? There was no body to be found. The disciples did not take the body. And then you got to look at other reports. And we're going to look at those in a second. We're going to see that there was actually eyewitnesses. So my thing is, don't swallow the fake news. Don't buy the fake news. You say, well, Pastor, that's something that happened, you know, years ago. Back then, they was promoting that now. But let me share with you a couple things that happens today. All right? There's a theory that's going around today. Don't swallow the fake news. It's called the swoon theory. And what does the swoon theory? And you know what? And the sad thing is that there are preachers that are preaching this right here in this city. And I know because I've talked to them, and this is what they told me. There are seminaries right here in this city that are teaching this very theory right here, that Jesus was nailed to the cross. He suffered much pain, lost a great deal of blood, and passed out, as the critics say, and what? Swooned away. He swooned away. And when he was placed in the tomb, he was revived by the cool air, and he got up and rolled the stone away and said, I have risen from the dead. Now, you know, if that's the case, I would like to get the market on cool air, you know, and put it in a little bottle and sell it, because you can make a lot of money. You can make a whole lot of money. So there is the fake news. the swoon theory. The next thing that we see, the fake news, and this is the wrong tomb theory. And this, again, another theory that's promoted by theologians and scholars because they don't want to believe the resurrection. At least one thing good I can say about the man who didn't want to bury his mother-in-law in Jerusalem is that he believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. So what does this theory say? All right, when the women came to the tomb of Jesus, they wondered who was going to roll the stone away. And when they arrived, to their surprise, this tomb was already open. And there was a young man, a gardener, according to this theory. And he tried to tell them that they were at the wrong tomb. And, you know, he was standing in front of the tomb where Jesus was at, according to this theory. And he said to the women, "Hey, hey, he's not there. He's over here." But the women got frightened and ran away and said that Jesus rose from the dead. So again, you know, another one that's out there. Here's one that was really made popular a couple years ago, the hallucination theory. And it basically said that all of Christ's post-resurrection appearances were mere illusions in the minds of those that saw him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it said that after he had rose from the dead, that there were over 500 people that saw him at the same time. So you're trying to tell me that it's possible for over 500 people to have the same hallucination at the same time? All you got to do is go back and study the nature of hallucinations, and you see that hallucinations are highly individual. They're not collective. They're not, hallucinations are not in a group. They are individualistic. So it's very unlikely that 500 people would have the same hallucination at the same time. Don't work. So as we think about this idea, and I like what Hank Hanegraaff says, because we're going to look at, and I'm going to be very quick with this, proofs of the resurrection. Proofs of the resurrection. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything Hank Hanegraaff says, but I think he gets it on the nail right here when he talks about feet, F-E-A-T. And so I wanted to give you guys something that you would remember. And so these are convincing proofs. Look at Acts chapter 1 real quick. Acts chapter 1. And in verse 1, Luke, who was the writer who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." So the former treatise is the book of Luke. And so he said, "I'm writing another book, and O Theophilus." And people, you know, don't necessarily know who Theophilus was, but the word Theophilus actually means lover of God. So this individual must have been a lover of God. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after through which the Holy Spirit was given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at this, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or that was his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it says that he showed himself by what? Many infallible proofs. You know what the word infallible means? Undeniable. Undeniable proofs that he was alive. And so as you come here today on Easter Sunday, you know, it would be a shame if you walked out of here not believing that Jesus literally rose from the dead. Because again, this is, and you know, it's very, you know, how many people, I mean, just think about, and we may hear about people being raised from the dead in some, you know, third world situations, but for the most part, you don't hear about people being raised from the dead. And here's a man that claimed to be God who rose from the dead. Now, either you're going to believe that or you're not going to believe it. And if you believe it, you got to have the faith to accept it and believe it. But then it's good to know that we not only have faith, but you know what? We have proof. We have proof. And so this morning, I want you to leave with proof that Jesus rose from the dead. So the first thing we see is this fatal torment, according to Hank Hanegraaff, his fatal torment. And so this is the real news. You know, well, I'm not giving you any fake news now. Now, the other thing, let me say this, that where do we get our account of Jesus' life, death, resurrection? In the Gospels. In the Gospels are what? Historical records. Yeah, it's the Word of God. Yeah, it's a spiritual book. But it's also a historical record. And so the first thing that we see in this real news, I'm not giving you the fake news, but real news, is that he was fatally tormented. That he suffered in Gethsemane. And we looked at this on Thursday night, that when Jesus got down and he began to pray, that the going to the cross was so intense that blood vessels in his body broke, and instead of dripping sweat, that he began to drip blood because he realized the weight of what he was getting ready to go through. And then we see that he was beat and spit on, and they whipped him. They took a whip and they literally ripped his back open until his bones and his organs were showing. And then they put a crown of thorns, and as the blood was beginning to dry up on his back, they put a robe on it, and the blood began to mat to his back. And then when he got to they ripped it off again and opened the blood back up again. They nailed him to a cross, and then they pierced him in his side to make sure that he was dead. And so there was a fatal torment. And so there can't be any swoon theory. Jesus, when he was on that cross, that he died for you, and he died for me. I heard about a man whose son, and he loved his son, but his son had started going down the wrong road back in ancient times. And his son was convicted of a crime. And his son was condemned to be beaten with 40 lashes. And as they tied his son to the whipping post, and they were getting ready to take the whip and tear his son's back open, the man ran and put himself around his son. And he took the lashes for his son. And that's what Jesus did for you. That's what he did for me. That you should have been the one that got beaten. You should have been the one that got the lashes. But Jesus took the lashes for you. The fatal torment. That's proof that he died, that he was dead. And then secondly, we see the empty tomb. And we see that when the women came, they found it empty. When the disciples came, they found it empty, and it's still empty today. You know, it amazes me that the one thing that anybody has to do is approve the body, bring the body. And when you do that, Christianity is over. You know, I was looking on the internet yesterday, and I just typed in some things, And you know, actually, there's people that say, we found the body. We found the body. Now, you think if they found, that, you know, just 20 or 30 years ago, the high priest, Caiaphas, the one who was the high priest at the time when Jesus was crucified, they were digging over there in northern Israel, and they dug up an ossuary. And an ossuary is a little square box, and what they would do is after a person died, they would wait till their flesh decayed, and then they would take their bones, and they would put their bones in a box. And so they recently found the bones of Caiaphas. So all these years later, over 2,000 years later, they find his bones. And I'm here to tell you that all that you need to do, as we sit here on this resurrection morning, thousands of churches across this country, probably hundreds of thousands of churches across the world that are worshiping a risen Savior. All you got to do is show us a body, and each one of us. We got to walk out of here with our head down and our finger in the air and say, excuse me for being a fool all these years. But we don't have to. There was a Muslim that got converted, and somebody asked him, why did he convert to Christianity? And he said, it's like if I was walking down the road and I came to the fork in the road, and there was a dead man on one road and a living man on the other road, which road do you think I'm going to take? And that's the same thing. As we walk through life, that there's a tomb that has a body in it, and then there's a tomb that doesn't have a body in it. If I'm going to believe in a resurrection, I'm going to go with the one that's empty. I'm going to go with the one that doesn't have a body. And so we see next that the A stands for appearances. And look at all the appearances that Jesus made. All the appearances that Jesus made. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the apostles with Thomas absent. He appeared to the apostles with Thomas present. He appeared to the disciples on the lake. And as I said before, he appeared to over 500 people at one time. And then we just read in the book of Acts chapter 1 where he appeared to the 11 disciples. We see that Jesus was alive, and his appearances prove that he's alive. And as I finish out this morning, I want to finish out with this, the T, and that is transformation. Transformation. What transformed the disciples from being cowards that ran to being bold individuals that stood up and proclaimed the glory of Jesus Christ? What made the difference? It was the resurrection. What transformed the Apostle Paul from being a persecutor of the church, from being a persecutor of Jesus Christ? What changed his life was seeing the risen Christ, and he died a martyr's death. Let me share with you four testimonies this morning. Four testimonies this morning, and I'm finished. Dr. Simon Greenleaf, as we talk about transformation, he was a Harvard law professor, and he was considered to have one of the greatest legal minds to have ever lived. As a matter of fact, he wrote a book, a treatise on the law of evidence, all right? And this was the greatest legal volume at that time that had ever been written. So guess what this guy figured he's going to do, Dr. Simon Greenleaf. You know what he said he was going to do? He's going to set out to prove that the resurrection was a hoax. Now, if anybody has the credentials to do it, it seems like he has the credentials to do it. So he sets out, and not only as he studied it, did he find out that the resurrection, watch this. Now, this is from a legal expert. The resurrection was the best supported historical event to ever happen. Y'all didn't hear that. I'm talking about a scholar. I'm talking about a top-notch scholar in legal matters. And he came to the conclusion that the resurrection was the best supported historical event that ever happened. And as a result of that, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. Next testimony. I bought this book years ago. Excellent book. If you get a chance to pick it up, you need to pick it up. I think they reprinted it now. And there's actually a foreword in this edition by Lee Strobel. But Frank Morrison was an English journalist who set out to prove that the story of Christ's resurrection was nothing but a myth. That was his objective. His investigation, now you need to go back and read these testimonies. I'm giving you the gist of the testimonies. You need to go back and read these testimonies. His evidence led him to discover the validity of the biblical account of the resurrection. And not only that, but he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in the process of doing it. And now, this book, Who Moved the Stone? Go Google it on the line. Yeah, I'm sure you get a copy of it. Excellent book. It's considered to be a classic apologetical work on the subject of the resurrection. All because he started out to disprove the resurrection. Had never heard of this next guy before, Lew Wallace. Lew Wallace was a lawyer. He was a general in the Union Army. And he was also the governor of New Mexico at one point. After he retired as governor, he was a foreign diplomat to Turkey. and he was also a writer. He began to write this book, and as he began to write the book, he ran into this atheist by the name of Robert Ingersoll, and he told him what he was writing about. He was trying to write about the life of Jesus Christ, and Ingersoll, who was an atheist, said, look, how can you write about Jesus Christ and you haven't even read the story? He said, I read the story, and I'm an atheist. He said, now you're going to write about it, and you haven't read the story? So he went back, and he began to read the account of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of reading the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he gave his life to Christ and became a follower of Jesus Christ. What was the title of his book? The title of his book was Ben-Hur, A Tale of Jesus Christ, and he published it in 1880. In 1959, his book was turned into a movie starring Charlton Heston. And what was the title of that movie? Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur. How did that come about? It came about because a man who did not believe studied the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. One more, and I'm done. One more, and I'm done. I read about these two guys, and you might not be able to see the title of the book up there, but this is their book, Gilbert West and Lord Littleton. All right? Amazing. I'm talking about transformation, right? Gilbert West and Lord Littleton were Oxford students, and they believed Christianity. They said, it's a tale gone mad. These people are stark raving fools out of their mind. And they determined that they were going to refute the Christian faith. So Littleton resolved that he was going to disprove the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, while West said that he would refute the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? So they both went their separate ways and did their research. And when they came back together, Littleton concluded that Saul of Tarsus did, in fact, convert to the Apostle Paul through Jesus Christ. And Gilbert West concluded that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was among the best established facts in all of history. Now, let me just conclude and say this, that if you got friends that don't believe in Jesus, I would tell them, go study the resurrection. Because it seems like everybody that sets out to disprove the resurrection ends up being transformed and being converted. Thank God that as we sit here this morning, that we don't need to have to go try to prove the resurrection. Because as the song said, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Ask those four gentlemen how they know he lives. Because he lives within their heart. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not fake news. It's one of the best attested events in history. And again, skeptics that you might be dealing with, encourage them to go study the resurrection, to go look at all the evidence, and see what conclusions they come up with.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for Christ is the First Fruit. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Fake News, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Fake News. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Fake News. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.